Okay, so obviously, elephant in the room, you have been playing a heck of a lot of Path of Exile 1, as has most Path of Exile creators and honestly players. A lot of people have moved on from Path of Exile 2, given it's been almost 4 months since the early access launch, and they stopped making bigger changes to the game around three weeks in. Right? So let's get the field. How did you feel about the launch of Path of Exile 2, and how did you receive the game?
Honestly, like, for an early access game, I thought it was really, really good. I thought it delivered on the things that I cared about the most, which is, so for me, Path of Exile 1 is largely, I love the systems. I love crafting. I love that I can customize the way my encounters go to change the drops that I'm getting. I love min-maxing my character. I tend to be one of those people who plays a few builds to the moon rather than playing a bunch of different builds. I love that stuff. And what I don't like about PoE1 so much is, like, honestly, the minute-to-minute gameplay, it's just okay. It's not, like, bad, but it you know, it's not a particularly engaging combat system. So I was really looking forward to what happens when the company who makes all these systems that I like makes a more engaging combat system. And on that front, largely, I think PoE2 delivered. There's some issues with endgame balance and the fact that, like, it sort of incentivizes you to want to make these zoomy builds, which I don't know if that's good, but I also, like, you can't get too upset about something like that, especially in the first iteration of the game. I think the campaign was phenomenal. I actually, while I know there's some issues with the crafting, I have less issues with it than I think a lot of other people do. Like, I hear a lot of people say, like, oh, I really want scouring orbs back. I really want alteration orbs back. And I'm like, I don't know that I agree with that. Like, I think there's something kind of fun about, you know, value to picking up an item, like an actual item, even if it's just a white item. I thought it was pretty good, but there's just not a lot to do. And that's the main reason I'm playing PoE1 right now. Like, honestly, I played PoE2. I took my monk to 98. I was playing Chiula monk, but I was doing some similar stuff to what a lot of the other people are doing, you know, like ice strike, flicker strike. I was doing Stormwave, I believe was the name of the skill. I was using that as, like, my main clear skill. And then I was just charging up flicker strike and hitting bosses with that. But I also tried, there was a Demon Infernalist build, and I played it with Spark and Original Sin, and I had, I think, right around 300 max life with, like, 5.5k energy shield. If you get too much energy shield, it actually negatively impacts you, so you're sort of capped on how tanky you could possibly get, but it was so much fun. Like, that's the other thing, too, is I think PoE2 is going to introduce, like, more interesting things. Like, in PoE1... the classes, largely the identity is, like, they're stat sticks. Like, nothing has, like, things that, like, fundamentally alter the mechanics of the game too much. Whereas, like, we've already seen the Demon Witch. We've seen, you know, several other things that, like, fundamentally change the way you play the game. And I want to see more of that, because that's really cool. Like, that makes it more interesting, I think.
Yeah, the Demon Witch, the Chronomancer with the specific time stop abilities and all that. Very, very interesting. The Titan with the 50% increased effectiveness of the small nodes on the tree. That is some game-changing stuff, and I totally agree with you on that. I do like that they're isolated in these ascendancies, and it gives them that further identity. I want to go back to something that you said at the beginning about crafting and how you kind of like that. One, it's very different from Path of Exile 1, right? Items matter a lot more. The white bases, rare items off the ground, they do matter. And you collect them consistently throughout your journey. There's really no part of your journey where you really want to stop picking up the items, because even if you're not crafting on them, they're valuable. And if you're in trade, you can sell them. Or if you have a future character, you know, you can try to craft on those bases and they'll become quite powerful. Or there's a chance they'll become quite powerful. I agree with you on the alterations and scourings. I hope they never come back. I did not like that system. I thought it was bad. I'm curious, though, did you engage with anything beyond the regular orb crafting, such as the omens and essences, a lot? Or are you a fan of what Grinding Gear Games, obviously, at least a month and a half ago, were fans of, the more slot machine system of you're just slamming and you're hoping for something good?
I would definitely not say I'm a fan of that. Like, I don't like the state that the crafting is in, but... I think it has a better base. And that's the sort of thing that I'm thinking about. It's like, I don't want to compare PoE 2 to PoE 3.26. I want to compare it to what PoE looked like before I was ever playing PoE, because to me, like, that's the life, you know, that's where it's at in its life cycle. And to me, when I look at, you know, videos from back when people were playing up to Dominus or something like that, this game looks so much better than that. It's insane how much better this game looks than that game did. Of course, PoE has, you know, 10 plus years of refinement and adding different mechanics and getting to see what works and what doesn't. I'm interested to talk about some of the mechanics stuff a little bit more later too, because, you know, which ones they chose and like what I think maybe could also port over well. But
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I definitely don't like where crafting currently is, but GGG's hit consistently enough that I want to just give them goodwill and patience, even if I don't like something about the game. That's kind of how I feel. I definitely don't like where it is, but I think they're going to totally fix it.
I think that's totally fair. And that I'm the positive, you know, glaze master here. The only thing that I just a tad, I guess, push back on that about is the fact that they really stated they wanted this to feel like a super complete game, right? And I think that they did hit the mark on that in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. We all laugh at, you know, people saying, "Ah, I spent 500 hours in the game, hated the game, was bad. I'm not going to play it again." That's why I love the game myself, and I've played around 300 hours, right? That's a significant amount of time in for myself in the past 3.5 months. I just think that there are some some bad decisions that I'm puzzled with, and I'm shocked because these guys are so smart. And this was a big debate that we had a few weeks ago. Was it change for the sake of change, just so it was different from Path of Exile 1 versus Path of Exile 2? Or did they have a greater plan here, right? I'm so curious about this fact. And that's why next Thursday, man, I am so excited and I am terrified of what it could be like. I don't know what to think. We can dive into the mechanics and everything a little bit. I'm curious because everybody is, you know, hungry about predictions from people. Do you think we're going to see on Thursday for Dawn of the Hunt and the big reveal stream?
So I thought about this, and the number one hot take I have for something that's maybe a little smaller in here, I would be very shocked if Expedition didn't get meaningfully buffed. And I have a couple reasons why I think this is the case. One, it was hands down the worst of the mechanics that they added in terms of like the power level and like what it gave back to you as a player for investing time into it. It was the worst. Like, I don't think that's too hot of a take to say Expedition kind of sucked compared to all of the other three.
Yeah.
But also, we've just spoken about the fact that there's a crafting issue in the game, and it would be a very nice way to not only put a temporary band-aid on that by giving you something in the game that gives good crafting, but also it gives Expedition a very clear-cut identity in gameplay. This is the place you go to if you want good rare items. If you want good rare items, you interact with Expedition. You learn how to interact with Expedition. And if you buff it and you make it so that, like, you know, I would like to see it at a power level where if you are very good at it, you have like a 1% chance or something around that to make like a 4 or 5 T1 item, like a really low, but it is possible because then a really good player or someone who even learns how to interact with it decently will be able to make items that are more than serviceable, items that are good, things that you can sell for a couple divine or that you can toss in your character. And then it's like, okay, I want rare items. I go to Expedition. I want to go, you know, get currency. I need to get, you know, quality for my rings, things like that. I go do Breach. Give everything a very clear identity. And Expedition is just sort of lacking that right now. It doesn't do anything at all, really. Like,
it doesn't. That's one of the it's shocking too, because I love the way they implemented it in Path of Exile 1 with the different vendors, and they all have that very distinct purpose. I mean, the fact that they kind of tried to split raw against the four vendors, I don't think that hit. I think it needs changes, and I think you're bang on. On the last pod, a lot of people were like, why is nobody bringing up Expedition? They're totally going to change it, and bam, you come on here with the dunk. All right, so I hope that person watches this podcast.
It just feels like it makes sense. Like, I would be a little surprised if something didn't happen there.
I'd love that. Just that state where you can get something that's good enough that feels like an upgrade and incrementally do that. That's what Path of Exile 2, I feel like, is missing, because every single time when I was progressing into T15s and T16 to T18s, right, I never felt like I could get that next upgrade. I was picking up all of my staff base, my quarterstaff bases, all of the proper energy shield evasion bases for my armor. And I was doing like, okay, on the quarterstaff, I'm just going to slam the physical essence and try to get a good mod. And like, I was doing all the right things, but I tried with so many different bases and I never hit anything good. Then I look at the trade site and it's like, okay, I spend one div and I 3x my damage. And it's like, oh, but I wanted to do it myself. It's such a conundrum you find yourself in. And in POE1, I almost never buy non-uniques from the trade site.
Yeah, yeah. Same.
Which I like. I really like that.
Yeah, so. It's there's something fun about making that gear and being like, okay, you know, I created this for myself. This is like custom made for this character. It fits what I need absolutely perfectly. Like it makes you feel more attached to that. And then like, even if you upgrade and you sell it later, I don't know about you, but I get this sort of cool feeling when one of my pieces of gear that I made sells to somebody else. And it's like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Another player gets to use this. It's going to help them out too. I did a good job with this one.
Right.
Like, and yeah, it's definitely missing that right now. And I think if you fix some of the crafting issues as well, you kind of fix some of the economy issues too. Because like if you, at least my experience, I played for, I want to say probably about 2 months. I feel like I played pretty heavily. When I stopped, I think was right about the time the Divines hit like 300 exalts or something like that. But like then you go look at gear and you'll find this gear that pardon me, but it was dog shit gear for extraordinary prices. And it's just because you can't make gear. So like that gear, even though it's, you know, it's bad, it is that valuable in PoE too. And you really drive those prices down on everything and make it so everybody has more gear if there's some clear ways that they can make it. Aside from, because like, I don't know about you, but my experience every single time, and I kept trying to use Chaos Orbs. I did. I kept trying to have faith. And every time afterwards, I told myself, never again. We're not doing this, bud. But like, I kept trying because I'm like, no, this is the only way you can craft items. You got to do it. And every single time it was like, bruh.
Just use an orb of annulment instead, man. Right? Right? Oh, God.
Like, it has like targeting. It knows what mod you want. And the only time it misses it is if it wants to add on like reduced attribute requirements or something.
Right.
So.
More agency, I think, is the name of the game, is what players would like. It doesn't need to be so left to chance. There can still be that massive layer of RNG, but just a little bit more control in the hands of players, I think, would be cool. And the economy is something that you just touched on there. It's going to be so fascinating to see how this plays out in the new Path of Exile League. What's going to happen without the duplication exploits that were prevalent with some of the most popular items, right? And I mean, you said you copped out when Divines were 300x. I think they hit 850x. I'm not kidding.
I think I saw something like that, yeah.
Crazy, man. I do know the Jamanra fragment is 3 Divine right now for one. I bought that for 165 Exalted Orbs a month and a half ago. It's crazy what's happened. And another thing, too, that I'm interested to see, in Path of Exile 1, we have the sinks for the orbs as well that are implicit in the end game. It's not, you're not just amassing currency to then either use on your items or spend on buying player items. You also have the sinks for the map device and sinks with crafting bench. Do you think that that's a possibility of something they might add into the game, or do you think that's not as important right now?
No, I mean, like, I think there's a ton of these things from PoE1 that, you know, you touched on this earlier, and I've thought the same sort of thing. There's so many things that feel like it's worse just to be different, and I feel like eventually, as these issues come up, and they, you know, the player base raises them, and they see them through, like, numbers or testing or whatever the case may be, I feel like they're going to come to realize it doesn't have to be different. Like, what we already had was good. What we needed to do was just improve on the things that PoE1 was bad at, which was getting new players in the door. Like, honestly, that's the thing the game is worst at. The only reason I was able to do it was because my friend, who had already played the game for years, was like, hey, you were playing Diablo 2. That game's boring as shit. Come play this game with me instead. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. He gives me Shaq Central's cold dot build. This is in 3.16. And like, he like, I went through the campaign with him. He was able to tell me like where to go, what to do. I asked a bunch of questions because that's just how I am. Like, I want to actually learn. I'm not just like, I'm not like a just tell me what to do kind of person. Right. I want to figure stuff out. And then if I have a question, please help me out. Like, absolutely. I'm not above getting help, but like, it's fun to explore and figure some of that stuff out as much as you can yourself. But like, yeah. This game's hard. It's really hard. Like, PoE 1 is, you know, I get to play a ton. And a lot of other people who make content get to play a ton. And you can find every single content creator you watch probably learn something new about the game every single day that they're live.
Totally true.
Probably just about every single one.
Yep. That's why I love Path of Exile 1 and 2, right? Especially PoE 1 when I first found it. It was just that game that I realized, oh my gosh, I can just sink my teeth into this and constantly be learning something new. And I'd, even though it has a lot of turn your mind off gameplay, there's always something cool that happens in every gameplay session for myself. Like, we all know the meme of, oh, just one more map, and then that map has, you know, three abysses in it. It has an expedition encounter with a June encounter. Then, oh my gosh, Einhar spawns in the map as well. And it's just, you know, this cavalcade of different content options. It's so cool, the experiences you get in that game, even as someone who's not like hardcore blasting it. It's just magical, right? And I get that feeling in Path of Exile 2 sometimes, and I just know as it matures, right, as you said at the top, it's just gonna get better and better. And this is the first slam at it. The only regret or the only qualm that I really have with GGG, I guess at this point, is that they reversed course on the act often thing that they had set out to do with early access. And I swear, I know people are like, You talk about this every time, and I'm like, well, maybe someone will hear me differently, because I thought that that's the way to go. That's the way to constantly, like you said, iterate on things in PoE 2 that are in PoE 2 and adjust things and learn new things. Like, keep going every other week or something. And they just stopped doing that. They did.
Do you think that part of that was a response to the sort of backlash that they got for like the cast on nerfs? Like, it has to be, right?
It's 100. I can speak with authority from private sources. That is 100% the reason. And I so disagree with it. I think what they should have done is bit the bullet and said, all right, we're going to give out free respecs when we do stuff like this, even if we disagree. The problem is grinding your games. They didn't see those nerfs as catastrophic. They were just like, we barely, you know, it's still viable. Don't be upset at us, right? And the player base, whether true or not, right? I've seen the Jung video where he's like, I can't even kill a white monster pack with my thing anymore, right?
Yeah.
I don't know where the truth is, but after that, just the animosity, they were done. We're just not going to do it. We hear you. We're not going to touch anything. And we'll do big balance changes in the major patches. And that was a turning point. I think it was a bad decision. You know, me from my armchair right here, my gamer chair, you know. What do you think about that?
100%. Okay, so one of my favorite music artists, Guy Porter Robinson, I was watching him in an interview, and I don't remember the question that prompted this, but what he answered really stood out to me. And he was talking about the fact that if you're someone who creates, like, you know, any kind of art, right, at some point, like, you have to have confidence that, like, you know better about your art than the people who are consuming it, even if maybe you have a little bit of doubt. Like, obviously, games are going to be slightly different, I think, because, you know, you've got the way that people are consuming it, there's like sort of an objective quality to it. You know, like, music's very subjective. There's no like objective thing about it. But like, in games, things can be objectively good and bad, you know, in terms of effective or ineffective. You know, like, if I want to go try to play like life stacking spell warrior in Path of Exile 2, it's probably going to be pretty bad, right? For the most part. Like,
yeah.
But if I, you know, play things that are maybe like a little better, I don't know, like, because of that, you'd have to sort of listen to what people are saying a little bit more, I think. But I do think there's some truth to it. And I think that, like, you should think about that. Like, these are people who, they've been making this amazing game for, you know, what, like over 10 years at this point. I haven't been playing the entire time, but like,
yeah.
So like 2013 or 2014 or something like that. I
2006 is when they started making the game. And they started making PoE2 in 2017.
I was still in high school when they started making PoE1. That's crazy. Dude.
Look at that.
Oh my goodness. yeah, no, I agree with you though. Like, I think honestly, like, and to add to that as well, why does respeccing need to be like a pain point when you have a, you know, such a wide skill tree and you want people to experiment and try different things? Like, that's what I think the game ultimately promotes, is have fun, combine all these different things and find crazy concoctions that work and enjoy the hell out of them for a couple patches. Yeah. And then we switch that up and other things are going to be that thing. And yeah, you keep doing that, and that's PoE. And sometimes, like, you know, obviously you've got your meta things, but there's plenty of other builds that get enabled and are enabled for a long time that are, you know, maybe they're not Lightning Strike Trickster level good, right? Maybe they're not Ice Strike Invoker or things like that, but like, they're good builds. They're strong, they're fun. You can do all content with them without having to have, you know, the adorned 100% and, you know, like Ingenuity or Mage Blood, right? Like, there's tons of different builds, and that's what I think is fun. I sort of lost where I was going from the beginning of that point.
No, but... I gotcha. It's just puzzling. We return to this. Thursday is gonna be crazy. I feel like they've been packing all this stuff in for months now. They've been pretty quiet, right? Especially ever since that tower announcement. I feel like they haven't really announced any system change since they were like, yeah, we made this cool tower announcement. And then the community was like, no, this is a bad change. Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Okay, you know, there's been a few pieces of thing I think have been overblown in the past few months. One, honestly, I think it's the tower change. Two, the last Epoch PoE2 debacle. I thought that was a little overblown too, but yeah, it's okay. I'm curious. We're talking a little bit about builds, respeccing, all that. You said you played at least two builds, your monk to 98, and it was an Acolyte of Treyula and then the Demon Form monk. So were those the only two builds that you played throughout the course of early access?
Yeah. So I did, the monk was first. My day one, I started off as a monk. I didn't want to consume a lot of information about PoE2 going into it. I had watched like a couple of your interviews with some people, a couple other interviews, and I tried to mostly, because I knew that things were very subject to change and I didn't want to get excited about something that would later be removed from the game. So I didn't look up anything about any classes until the night before. So then, of course, it's like kid on Christmas. I'm laying in bed on my phone just like this, looking up, God, you know, like, oh, what are these classes? And I saw the Energy Shield Leech like instant thing on Chula Monk. And I was like, that seems really strong. I'm going to take that. It wasn't that good, but the class was pretty fun overall. I thought it was a lot better than people gave it credit for, but yeah, that node kind of sucked.
Okay. It was. So that's the thing. I'm really curious. Thematically, it looked awesome. And I saw a lot of speculation. I also did not participate in Buildcraft, but I saw people say Acolyte of Treyula is the most busted thing ever. And then when the game came out, nobody was playing it. And I think it's lower than almost everything else on like PoE Ninja, the slice of pie. It's like 0.3% of players. What made it so bad? Is there just nothing that really makes it good offensively? And that's the problem? Or,
well, I don't necessarily think it's so bad. What I think really happens here is more that it suffers from the fact that the other option is both more exciting and more powerful. And so if it's more exciting, you would do that just if you're looking to play a fun, goofy build. Like Invoker has more nodes that do flashy and cool things. Yeah. And it's also stronger. So it's better for like, if you're like are you an MTG person? Have you ever been?
I have like not, Magic? No, but you go okay. for it. I bet a lot of people have.
There's three types of players and it's just like established in Magic. There's Johnny, Timmy, Spike. Johnny likes to do like cool things. Johnny likes combos. Timmy likes big things. Spike likes winning the most. So like Invoker appeals to all three of those types of players over Chula Monk. And I think that's really the problem. Like I did it because I was excited about the Leech node, sort of got baited by the Leech node, but I was already playing the character. We weren't allowed to respec ascendancies and I didn't want to do the leveling again. So I just ran with it and it was still pretty good. Like it wasn't bad. I was able to do, you know, Arbiter 4s, like,
oh, wow.
not, like, I beat every single boss in the game and I didn't buy any fragments. That was my thing. I wanted to play trades so that I could get gear because I was worried maybe crafting wouldn't be quite there. But I like SSF and kind of generating my own content. And it, as a content creator too, like, it helps you have stuff to do, right?
Right.
Because it's ultimately like, you want to be doing something that's fun and entertaining while you're on stream. And if you have, you know, a carrot on the stick in front of you, that helps.
Definitely.
So now, I made sure.
Sorry, I got to ask you, just while we're, you know, you mentioned Arbiter Tier 4, was it an ethical kill or was it I kill him in 3 seconds kill? I got to know. I'm asking this now.
He got blown up. I mean, you have to keep in mind, you have to keep this in mind. If I'm farming, I think this is one of the problems that the end game had too. If I'm farming these by myself and I'm getting trade level gear progression, but I'm only solo self finding the fragments, you do not generate them before your character gets to such an insane level of power. So like, even if I wanted to fight him ethically, I love, my favorite fights with bosses are when you're tanky enough to survive the little attacks, but the big ones will kill you. Yeah. And you do enough damage to where you don't have to dodge more than maybe 5-6 skills in a phase. Like, that's fun. You have to interact a little bit. You do enough damage where you're not sitting there for 8 years. Like, okay, this is my 17th Maven memory game. I'm over it. Like no one flashback. Wants to do that. Yeah. Like, that's not fun. But like, if you have to interact a little bit, like, that's exciting. It's fun. Like, maybe your character dies. Like, maybe. And I liked in PoE 2, once they added the portals so that you can get some experience on the early versions of the boss.
Saved me.
Yeah, that's, you need to be able to learn from your mistakes. Like, I went into the Arbiter, and I'll be honest, like, I try my best to be positive most times, but also, like, I'm a very animated and emotional person. So the times that I do get frustrated, I just pop the fuck off about it, right? Yeah, so yeah. I was on stream just super mad about the first Arbiter fight. I was like, those mechanics, that's the worst fight they've ever designed. I can't believe that. That's so baity. That's so gotcha. I can't believe it. I was just sitting there and I was like, guys, I'm salty. Just let me be salty about it. Okay. Like,
which one was it? Was it the don't walk into the, or you need to go into the orb? Or,
no, it was it? Like, I just misread where the little column was going to be.
The hallways.
And I walked the wrong way for just a half of a second. You're and done. I still died. Yeah. Like, not like, it's just one step in the wrong direction and you're done.
I guess I'm a masochist because I am a huge fan of that fight now, dude. But I also tried it for the first time when I had 6 portals. So originally I think I sent out a tweet. I'm like, I'm never going to be able to play Arbiter because I can't find any citadels. This is stupid. I've been playing for 150 hours, no citadels, grinding your games. Thanks, guys, but you know, I'm a content creator. I guess I'm just going to do my review of PoE 2 because I can't find Arbiter. I wanted to kill Arbiter myself before I did my review. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then they added the Citadel patch, and boom, there's 8 Citadels right along my path that are right outside my line of sight. Was able to do it. Went in there with 6 tries. Killed him on my 6th try. It felt so good that first time. Did you kill him like the first time when you did a few mechanics? Like, it still feels good if you do like one phase of the hallway and stuff, you know?
The first time I had to do one of the hallway phase, and then we knocked him into the second phase. And the second phase, like, he got to do a couple things, but I had like a pretty nice quarterstaff at that point. Okay. I had my crit was at like about 80%. And then like you get these random pops where like you hit a crit and then you also get the 100% extra damage, you know, chaos damage. And so like you pop that plus Flicker Strike. And Flicker Strike will do this thing where you'll just keep going, right? Like if you're continually generate, like not losing the power charges, it just keeps Flicker Striking.
Yeah.
So it popped off that time and just one shot him in the second phase, essentially.
Well, you did hallways. You're good, man. Some of my friends, someone in the chat saying they just froze all the bosses at level 9, didn't even do any mechanics. Just I do hate that. I hate that a lot, but to each their own. If that's how you have fun, that's how you have fun. I can self-gimp myself, which is essentially what I did. I mean, my my Arbiter 4 fight was 6 minutes long scrims. Dude. But at the end of it, I mean, my keyboard was wet. Sweat was everywhere. I mean, I didn't piss myself. It was sweat.
Well, that's good.
I thought I was like, maybe people think I'm pissing myself. No, it was my hands, sweaty hands. But I was so happy, you know, And a lot of people, when they hear that, they like go and say, oh, well, you must love Elden Ring and Dark Souls. Screw those games. I hate Elden Ring and Dark Souls. I can't even kill the second boss in Elden Ring. I can't do it. I can't kill the second boss of Dark Souls. I can't do those games. I love ARPGs, and I love the fights in Path of Exile. It's the only ARPG so far that I've found that I've really enjoyed the boss battles. Last Epoch, it's not there yet, guys. I haven't fought Abaroth. I'll do it eventually. But, you know, I really love these boss fights. Are you a boss fight fanatic, or are you more of like, you know, blasting packs, clearing maps, farming mechanics?
No, I like all of the different aspects of the game, and I constantly cycle between them. Like, I blast maps for a while until that gets boring, and then like we go make some items, and then that maybe, you know, we're done, or we have the item we need, or, you know, we're out of currency, maybe one of those things. But, you know, then we go kill some bosses. Like, it's nice to take a break. Like, oh, I'll try a couple simulacrums. I don't want to run 100 simulacrums in a row. That's not very fun. But like running a couple simulacrums, oh, maybe you get a voices. It's cool. It's just fun to mess around and do some different content. But I do like the bosses a lot. Yeah. Like, I think that's definitely one of the stronger points about Path of Exile 1 in terms of gameplay compared to other RPGs is there's nothing else that I feel like has as compelling of boss fights, especially like, I did the gauntlet for the first time in Settlers. And I went slow as a turtle, but I never died. I got to 95. I got my first two void stones on the last day of the event. Like, wow. And it was fun. Like, very fighting nice. Those, like, even just fighting like the story version of that guy in like HCSSF with all these extra buffs on it. Like, it was fun. Like, and I don't think there's another ARPG that I've played anyway that has that kind of experience in it.
Yeah. I mean, so. Mavened Hillock is something I will never forget. And the gauntlet. I got about, where did I get? I got to Brutus, and Brutus had the lair of the Hydra spouts. And I was like, well, it was a good run, guys. It was a really good run. I'm out of here. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the boss fights. And you mentioned simulacrum. You don't want to run hundreds of simulacrums. And you said you wanted to kind of talk about the league mechanics that they transferred from PoE 1 to PoE 2. And the decisions there. What do you think about the current set of four? I think we have Breach, Delirium, Ritual, and Expedition. Those are the big four, right? And then obviously Sanctum and Sekhmas and Ultimatum with Chaos. But what do you think about that set? And do you like how they were implemented?
So let's see. One of the things I think is important is to pick things that are like very core to like PoE general identity that aren't necessarily tied to one like lore wise. Like, I think betrayal as a mechanic, for example, especially if you're trying to create more meaningful combat. I was thinking about this earlier. That would be a good mechanic to port, but thematically, it doesn't make as much sense because, like, the Forbidden Masters, again, this is, like, before I was around. I've read a little bit about this in Wikipedia because I like betrayal, right? But that doesn't make as much sense to port over to PoE2, so you can't just port it over the way it is. So I think Delirium's a really good mechanic to port over in terms of like Delirium. When a lot of people think of PoE, they think of that map blasting, and Delirium's like a very like essential part of that. I think it's either the core part of the strategy or layered into so many juicing strategies. Right. I don't know whether I think it was implemented the best. It's okay.
You don't like the body blocking and the pushy blobs. You don't like those? Come on, bro.
Yeah, maybe those could not be in there. Maybe a couple other things could be, you know, tweaked just a little bit. But, okay,
here's my qualm with it. The optimal, and I know the everybody talks about optimal. The optimal way to play a lot of your end game is to juice your maps with Delirium and put the memories on, or the emotions, right? On them, right? These maps are so freaking beautiful, and the emotions cause them to gray out completely and have the fog, and all the beauty of these maps goes away. I know this is such a petty complaint, but I don't think I like that. I wish I wish it wasn't as egregious, because I am one of those. Am I vain? Maybe I'll call myself vain. I love the way PoE 2 looks, and it makes a difference to me when I'm playing it. I'm like, ooh, look, I'm in this map. I'm already forgetting the map names, but the aquatic cavern one, whatever the heck that, the grotto, hidden grotto,
hidden
right?
Grotto, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's so pretty. I mean, and it's an annoying as hell layout, and it has the rare monsters that are despawned, right? The rock slamming guys, right? And,
yeah, yeah.
And it's annoying, but I love the way it looks, right? Oh, Creek is great. Delirium gets rid of all that. And I'm like, what solution is there? Do they have? Like, that's just the essence of Delirium, right? I don't know.
I mean, that, you know, does the fog need to exist? Maybe we could, like, find a way to represent the Delirium that isn't, you know, like, smoking out the entire map.
Maybe. Or it's just a little, you know, a thin layer of fog and it doesn't grayscale everything. There you go, right? Or maybe, you know, maybe when you enter through the mirror, you know, your screen gets a little foggy for a second. And then
you could put it like around the edges of the screen, so the center still looks largely like the same. Like as you get to the edge, it fades something, a little more to gray.
Something, because I'm telling you, I swear I'm not alone. These maps are beautiful, and we want to see them. I like them. Okay, I'm sorry for interjecting.
No, you're totally good. I mean, if you're gonna have to spend that much time in the layouts, they might as well look good, right? And a lot of them do.
Like, what's your favorite layout in PoE2, and what's your least favorite?
Favorite in terms of raw, just like how it feels to run, like overall, how it feels to run it and how it looks.
Yeah.
Probably Savannah feels so. I did like one, like a little map tier list thing. And the maps that I put S tier were like Sandspit, Savannah, and there was one other one, but I can't remember which one it was.
Not Gorge. Ravine, maybe? Ravine's interesting.
No, I don't think so.
Very linear.
I was doing a ton of Breach at the time too, so this is heavily biasing what I was saying was good. But Sandspit's nice. It's just like aesthetically, it's a little bit boring. Like, it's a beach, so it's nice, but it doesn't have much going on. Whereas, like, even with Strand, right? Like Strand, you know, the sort of like beach map that people play in PoE1 for the most part. Like, obviously, beach and shore maybe get a little bit of play, but Strand's a very popular map, right?
Okay.
It's more fun. Like, it's got, you know, it's got like that twilight sort of look to it. And, you know, you've got the cliff always on the one side, so you're always sort of like going along that. Sandspit's just like, it's just like racetrack, and it's bright, it's kind of boring, I don't know, but it's a great map to run. It feels amazing to run, so that's why I think it's still great. But Savannah, I think, looks quite a bit better. That boss sucks, though. That boss will mess you up.
Oh, come on, bro. It's not that bad. Just don't put a, you know, increased attack speed and stuff on him.
I had something like 14,000 energy shield on my chunk at one point, and I don't know what map mods we put on there or what I did to that guy or what they were feeding him, but he actually one-shot me 100 to 0 in a single hit. He did like his big slam, and I was being disrespectful because I was like, dude, I'm tanky as hell. You can't kill me. What?
Right.
No, he killed me. It was bad.
Okay. I'm going to find a reason to bring up Creek. Creek is my favorite map. And I like the environment, and I think the layout is good too, but it also has this oddity about it that I'm really curious to hear thoughts on. And I don't hear anybody talking about this. The map boss is the Bloated Miller, right?
Yeah.
And it can appear duplicated. What the hell is that? Why is this only this map boss can be duplicated? What is going on? Like, is it just something specific to the map? What's going on here? Do you know? I don't know.
I know. I was going to ask you because I never even realized this. I thought there were two separate maps, and one of them had one miller and one had two, because I pay some attention. I didn't realize that it was just sometimes it had two. That's wild.
Right. What's going on? He just sometimes it's just a dupe miller. And I was thinking, because that was one of the first maps I played in PoE2. I was thinking, oh, wow, they have the twinned map boss modifier. It's just a random thing that happens sometimes. And then I never see it for another boss. And then I run Creek again and I see it again. And I'm like, what is going on? It just must be a fun little thing they put in.
But sometimes you just need a friend, man.
Like, yeah. Hey, he definitely needs a friend, because that fight's pretty easy without the friend. So
he's been needing a friend since the beginning of the game. So,
okay, I'm getting corrected in chat. Woodlands is twinned Miller. Okay.
Okay.
I thought it was Creek. See, you were right, Scripps. One has just a single Miller and one has a twinned Miller. Still, that's
they're
weird.
Pretty similar aesthetically though too.
I think they are, right? There is one map that is a woody map where you enter, you is it Willow? Oh, Willow. Oh, you hit trees all the time. Oh.
Yeah, those not Willow. That one, like, it looks like it should be nice, right? It's pretty nice looking and it should be open.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
But so many of those patches of trees look like something that you should be able to walk over and then mm-hmm. you just can't. Like,
yep.
Why? Don't do yep. this to me.
Yeah. Oh, I can't. See, okay. One more point to think. Well, we're just roaming around, scrimps. Okay. Do you think that it is hopium from me that we're getting act four in point two? Do you think we're going to get another act or no? What do you think?
I honestly wouldn't bet on it either way. I don't think it's too hopium. I think maybe a little bit, but at the same time, like, they have given it like a named sort of expansion. We know they've developed it a little bit because parts of it have been shown at previous Exile Cons. Is that right? I've never like been to one of those things, but
bro, Act 4 looked like it was dunzo at Exile Con 2023, and they as recently as late 2024 they were showcasing footage from Act 4. So I'm like thinking, oh, come on, just put it in the game, do it.
Yeah, okay. I think it's reasonably likely, but also I wouldn't be like shocked and terribly disappointed if it didn't happen. Like that's what I'm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's too crazy hopium though.
I'm doing a terrible ad campaign where I'm really advocating for this, hoping that I can strongman Grinding Gear Games into releasing Act 4. Please, I love the acts. I'm looking at it as a trickle down effect, right? Because when you add an act to the game, it's not just, okay, the campaign length is increased. It's also endgame gets all those bosses. Maybe there's new tile sets. There's new base types, right? That we'll get to finic with and everything. It's a lot packed in there. I'm really curious if that happens. Do you think we're just going to get the Huntress as a class? Or do you think we're going to get anything else?
I would guess that we probably get a couple new, like, are we getting new ascendancies? Has that been confirmed for the other classes?
They said multiple and we've seen two so far. So okay. One for the warrior, we think, and another for the mercenary, we think. It's possible we only get those two. It's possible we get more.
I think it's going to, like, it'll be unfortunate, I think, if we don't get ascendancies for all of them at the same time, only because it's going to make some of the classes feel very stale, and then it's going to make them not get played as much, and you're not going to get as good div data on those things. Maybe they don't get balanced right. I think like that sort of effect like radiates out. Like, you know, example, if they don't make a new monk class, well, if there's something else that's more flavor of the month than Invoker, Invoker will be left by the wayside. Chonk really doesn't have any other reason to be picked outside of if it maintains its niche as like a decent Sanctum or Sekuma runner. Sorry.
Yeah.
PoE one brain. But like, yeah, I worry about what happens with those classes or something like that happens. And like, you know, but I mean, we'll see. At the same time, we'll have new toys to play with. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. I hope we get something else new though. I want to see more spellcasters that are interesting. I felt like there were a lot of different attack builds that were available. Like, there were bow attack builds that were viable. There were quarterstaff attack builds that were viable. I've seen, you know, some crossbows. I know crossbows get memed on a lot, but I've seen some crossbow builds that looked pretty cool. On the other hand, I don't feel like I saw a lot of very interesting spell builds. I feel like the meta coagulated entirely around Spark. Yeah.
Ugh.
And like, even when I played this off-meta Demon Witch thing with Original Sin, I was still using Spark because it's like the best spell by a large margin.
Yeah.
So I want to see more interesting spellcasters and maybe some balance passes done at some of the spells. Maybe instead of nerfing Archmage and Spark, maybe we just nerf Archmage and we give some of the other elements some similar tools to play with. I don't want to see Archmage like hit to the ground. Yeah. I think, you know, it's good to give people these like scaling vectors, but the fact that it only exists for lightning damage sort of already pushes you towards let's play the best lightning damage spell. And then Spark is already the best spell. It doesn't matter the lightning damage, cold damage, whatever. Yeah. It's the best spell. So of course everyone's going to play it. I just want to see more options for spellcasters. And then attack builds, like, yes, everybody used Hand of Wisdom in action, but like there were a lot of different builds that used it. It just happened to be the best scaling vector. I don't think it needs a big hit. Just give attack builds more like toys to play with.
Right.
And you won't see everybody using that. But casters, I think it's a bit more of a problem for them.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be a fixed one if they buff other skills, like you said, that already exist. Two, I'm on the Druid hype train, Grimps,
okay,
for this patch. And we know that they're going to bring in a bunch of elemental-themed spells, too. Primal-themed spells like Volcano and perhaps Wind-based spells, Earth-based spells and the like. That'll be a cool new set of toys to play with for spellcasters as well. I'm really curious to see if that makes it into the game. So
I would love to turn into a bear and or like summon a tornado and then turn into a bear and beat stuff up while my tornado also beats stuff up. That would be really cool.
Please. I am so hoping for the bear, man. I have to think that they're just waiting for reveal day to unleash it. Who cares about the Huntress and her spears? Honestly, everybody is there for the bear. They're going to log in on the 27th and watch that stream because they think the bear's going to be there. And I'll call it now. The trailer starts with a bear roar or something like that. It just has to happen. Okay?
Man. I mean, so you talked about this a little bit before we started this chat, right?
Yeah.
That like some of the numbers around PoE 2 content were starting to trend similar to what it was doing towards launch.
Yes.
Well, one of the things I think that they 100% like smashed was the marketing leading up into PoE 2. So many people know about this game, and you mentioned like IRL friends and even people that maybe weren't friends, like that all got into PoE 2 that never touched PoE 1. And like I, you know, my local friend group, like hang out with people in Discord sometimes, right? And all of them had tried PoE 1 at some point and never got to maps. Like one of them got to maps and then he quit like before he got to yellows. The rest of them never to maps. Every single one of them got characters deep into maps in Path of Exile 2.
Me too, bro. Me too. Yep.
That I think is that to me is the biggest reason that like I'm willing to give them a lot of patience too, right? Like I mentioned this earlier when we were talking. That to me is like the biggest green flag about why this is good and why all of these other things, because like you've mentioned some things that have been irritating to you. Yeah. And I've mentioned, you know, I've popped off on stream a couple times, but like there's a ton of rough edges about the game. And I think one thing that I think makes it harder is that like when we're talking on the internet with people in like a public text-based forum, like me and you having like a chat like this, you can have a chat like this with other people and you probably avoid a lot of these pitfalls. But like when it's just text, you don't get any sort of like, you don't get any context. You don't get any right. sort of like body language. You don't get any of these sorts of things. And people sort of just like coagulate around very strong opinions about it. People also feel like very invested in the games they play, especially this game. And so like when it's not perfect, they're just like angry immediately. But I think you can love something and also be very critical of it. Like, I think it's a very good game. And I think a lot of parts of it really suck. And I have no clue how they made it in the game the way they did. But I trust GGG to figure it out, right? Because there's tons of things that I do every day that are really stupid. And I have no clue why I did them, right? But they happen. Right. And like, most of the time, I try my best to be like a reasonably smart person, but I, you know, everybody screws up. So like, they're going to screw up too. Like maybe they really did just say, we want to make this so different from PoE 1. And they're going to look and be like, yeah, I guess some of that stuff was good. We should just, you know, quietly port it over and not have to talk about it.
That's a great point, Ben. And something that I think we might forget, a lot of Path of Exile 1 players might be forgetting too, is I think of the reason a lot of players who didn't play PoE 1 are so hooked on PoE 2 is because the field of competition, I feel like, it just isn't there. And maybe like maybe their expectations were lower going into this. I know my friends were, right? Because I tried to get them to play PoE 1. They couldn't make it through the campaign. They were like, okay, I'll try PoE 2. I'll do it. And then they have, you know, triple, quadruple my hours in the game. And they're just loving it so much. And they don't see these issues, man. I'll tell you. Like, a lot of these things, they actually are just blind to them. And I'm like, but this thing. And they're like, all right. You're going to be on at 9 o'clock, right? And I'm like, what the hell, man? What? It's so funny, right? But you're so right. We can love the game and be critical of it at the same time. That's a great message.
For sure.
Speaking of No, there's no segue. I need to ask you about Last Epoch. You going to play it? You going to play it on April 17th? Have you played it before, and are you going to play it on the 17th? I don't think I actually saw any Last Epoch videos on your channel. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
No, so I have never played it before.
Okay.
I have definitely have some interest in it. I'm like not as much of an ARPG person as I am. I like PoE a lot. I'll play other APRPGs. Like, they're good genre. I don't like dislike it. But I played a lot of Diablo 2 when I was a kid. And then Path of Exile is basically just, it's the same things that I like about Diablo 2, but it's just like actually a good end game. And it works all the parts of my brain that I like for a game to work. Like, it's fun to think about all of these different number things with my build and testing out different things. Like, ooh, I wonder what this thing does if I try this out. Yeah. Like, that's great. I might try it out. Like, I definitely have some interest. I've watched some other people. Like, I've watched Arrow streaming it some. It looks cool. It's just, a lot of times pour all of my time into, like, one game at a time.
Ditto.
And I don't know that it's, like, it's going to beat this for me. But maybe I should try it and find out, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's very possible. You know, the update looks really exciting. And I'm the exact same way you are, too, man. I'm a mono gamer. I just enjoy a single title and I pour all of my free time into that title. And I've done that with Path of Exile 1 for the past 6 years. Now I'm doing it with Path of Exile 2. We'll see if I'll be able to split that. I have no idea. But Last Epoch is also fun. I'm really looking forward to this update because it seems like this scrappy team of dudes have been working so hard the past 9 months to try to address all the community concerns and then put some oomph on top of it. It's just like, it makes me excited. It gives me those feelings that I got back in 2019 when I first started playing Path of Exile 1. And I was watching, you know, Chris Wilson give a presentation on stage at ExileCon and do the reveal live streams. It just gives me that same sort of buzz. So I'm super excited to dive in. And it might not be for me because the first few times I played, I did bounce. It was like very boring to me. It turned into a slog and everything. And that's something that they've really tried to address with this patch. So I would recommend giving it a try. It's $35, you know? If you like it, you like it. If you don't, well, then you can just return to PoE 1 and PoE 2.
You did bring up something interesting that makes me want to try it a little bit more. And it's just that like PoE sort of feels like in terms of quality, it's been at the top of the ARPG, like, totem pole for a long time, and the longer you've been at the top, the more likely somebody else is who's hungrier than you to come in and innovate over the things that you have gotten comfortable about. So maybe there's a chance for at least Last Epoch to like deliver the game that PoE2 isn't able to deliver just yet. Like, they could sneak in there and do that. Like, maybe, I don't know, it could be fun.
There are some ideas there that GGG are a little jealous of, I feel like, and some that they may take for themselves at the end of the day. You know, I think that they were forced into adding currency exchange because of Last Epoch. I truly do. I think maybe they explicitly said it. I don't think they explicitly said it, but they heavily hinted toward that fact. And I am so thankful. Man, am I a fan of the currency exchange in both games. Whew.
There was, I think, I can't remember if it was like a Ziggy D or a Ziz interview, where they mentioned something about like another game, they didn't name it, and they said people aren't going to accept not having like instant buyout of some form in the game anymore. Like, that's just not a thing that modern audiences will accept. So I feel like they had probably referencing that, right? And you're right, the currency exchange is amazing. It's been so good for me, even just in this free show event. I've had a couple moments because I'm doing some of these more high-end crafts where, like, a couple days ago, I'm making a new body armor, and I just have Faustus open with tailoring orbs at, like, 2 tailoring orbs for 5 divine, and it's just click, spam, spam, damn it, click, spam, spam, and I just deleted, like, 30 divine orbs just doing this with Faustus window open the entire time, and, like, before, how much more time would I have had to spend to get the same result? It would have taken me probably a half hour to do what I did in 2 minutes, because I have to whisper 10 people.
That's the thing. That was me and Eldritch currency. Oh my gosh, that would take me an entire evening when I got to endgame and I was like, all right, let's get the initial Eldritch currency going. And I would spend my entire night with Eldritch currency and then with the currency exchange, 10 minutes. And I'm like, we're good. Heck yeah. Oh, Best feeling. Best feeling
ever. You can like list some stuff too for, you know, good, like more competitive, like you're trying to make more money out as opposed to just get money now. You know, you leave it up overnight, you log in the next day, and it's like you left yourself a present. It's like, oh, dude, Faustus has 6 divines for me. Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm short on chaos. I need more chaos to craft my maps. I'll go sell some of these dense fossils that I've picked up from, you know, Delirium or something. Like, currency exchange is amazing. And mm-hmm. I hope they even push a little further that way.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about instant buyout. I'm kind of on the edge because I feel like it would too heavily trivialize item progression. I know a lot of people want instant buyout for gear. And I should have made that distinction for gear in the game. Man, I don't know. And that's a tough one for me because I recently learned the entire manifesto of trade from Chris and Jonathan and all them way back when. Mm-hmm. I read through the manifesto myself as well, and they make some compelling arguments how it just like trivializes everything. You have to change drop rates, and you know, people will become just far more like transactional, and that human touch will be gone. I don't know, there is something that I know this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people, but there is something stupid and mystical with trading with people, like with gear in your hideouts and making those trades. Currency, screw that. I feel like it's just money. Let's just, you know, let's do an auto. But the gear itself, I don't know. I'm on the fence with that now. I was very much in the camp of auto buyout, but I don't know anymore. I really don't.
I have some. I don't necessarily feel like you need like full instant buyout necessarily. Because what you're saying, I want to trust that they know what they're talking about, right? They've made this game that's very good. I don't know how to make a game that's that good. I know how to play a game that's that good, but I don't know how to make a game that's that good. Yeah. So like, even if what I feel like is right is opposite of that, they know more about it than me. So that should raise some sort of red flag to me that maybe I'm just wrong, right? There's a possibility that I'm just wrong if I think that. So like, I have a little bit of hesitation about it, but I would like to see some of the friction removed. It, you know, even if it's as simple as like, you know, you have like a little shopkeeper in your hideout that can do the transactions for you. Like you just have to click to approve it. And the person still has to like get invited to your party. But you then don't have to leave the map. You just click once and that person doesn't have to wait for you. Cause there's a lot of times where stuff like that happens in a trade, and it's kind of annoying. Like it sucks, you know, to be on either end of that. Oh, like, you know, they whispered you for a trade and you really want to answer, but you're in the middle of an encounter in your map that you can't possibly leave. Maybe you're fighting the Black Knight in the crater or something, right? Like,
right. Oh, yeah. I would also one big point of friction is, you know, people who leave their stuff up on trade and never respond to anybody because, oh, I'm not making a 5 chaos trade anymore in the league, right? I think I saw somebody pitch this a while ago where if you get like 20 or 30 lit whispers, whatever, and you don't respond, that the item is just taken down from the trade site. Like, screw that, because I hate the ghost listings. That's a huge point of annoyance with the current trade site that I deal with, especially later on in the league, where there's people who are just like, I don't care about these low effort trades. Well, then why is it listed? Oh my God.
For sure. I worry about like potential for abuse with that in the case of like very high end of the economy. Like people can like spam whisper their competition to constantly take their listings down. I agree with the spirit of what you're saying. And so like, even if that implementation might have some issues, maybe something should be done towards that, because that is definitely a huge problem and really annoying. Yeah. It's even worse with the idols for anyone who's playing in Freesia. You probably have known you have to whisper, you know, 10, 20, maybe 30 people to get idols that you need so that you can go to the Recombinator and delete all of the mods and have an idol that has like plus breach chance and like ultimatum boss drops catalyst or something.
Oh gosh. Yeah. That pre-show event was interesting. Your maps were like, even though they weren't the juice you wanted, they were instantly juiced when you got to endgame. And it was so cool. It was like the difference between PoE1 and PoE2 at that exact moment. I was like, oh, whoa, my mind is expanding right now. It was just crazy. I didn't die though. I felt really good. It was my first hardcore in endgame.
So, ooh, nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was a fun one. All right, man. Holy crap, we're over an hour. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about, Path of Exile 1 or Path of Exile 2 related? This has been absolutely awesome.
There was one question that you had told me would potentially be asked that I had really thought about an answer to that I was excited about and I wanted to share. And you had
then said you
that,
go in.
Okay. You had asked me, I'll try my best to be concise about it and quick, maybe a little rambly, but we'll do our best.
Ramble away, man.
You had asked me what mechanic from PoE 1 I would port over, and I thought about this, and I think Metamorph, or something that looks like Metamorph, would be perfect for PoE 2. Something that allows you to create your own sort of boss encounter and fight it after you've, you know, assembled the parts of it, and get some cool unique drops based on like what kind of parts you have. Like maybe, you know, the unique rolls, different rolls based on what like different parts you use to compose the final boss. Something that's like a build your own boss mechanic, because like I really like the boss fights in the campaign. I really liked, you know, the Arbiter, not the Arbiter. I keep saying Arbiter. The Arbiter was good, but Zest was an amazing boss fight. And that's one of the best boss fights across either game. Just super well done. It looked really cool. I want to see more cool boss fights and a mechanic that's entirely about, hey, we're going to allow you to make these really juicy giga bosses and test your build in like one-on-one combat against something tough. Like I think we really need that. So dude, sorry that I wanted to get that one in there. I was thinking about it.
No, that's so good.
Ever
dude,
since
Chad
is, me the questions.
Chad fully agrees with you. One, I miss Metamorph from Path of Exile 1. I really do. And I never thought it lived up to its full potential. Bringing it back for PoE 2 would be awesome. And the ability to combine different bosses. Dude, the pinnacles. Can you imagine like an Arbiter mixed with Zest, mixed with like Geonor? Oh my God. Oh,
you got, like,
heck yeah.
Zest's fingernail and like the Arbiter's like charred ring or something.
Yes.
And like you create this boss out of it.
Oh man. They have so much boss fight potential from Path of, like, ideas from Path of Exile 1 that they could bring back to Path of Exile 2. Like, the Maven's Crucible. Oh, my gosh. In a Path of Exile 2 world, I can't even.
I think there's
crazy.
A lot of potential. I'm excited to see what they do. I hope I hope the Huntress is really popping, because then, like, we'll have a lot of fun toys to play with, even if we don't get a lot of new mechanics. But give us more cool boss stuff. Like,
I know.
That's the one thing everybody's been talking about. Geonor, one of the coolest boss fights in any... probably just one of the coolest boss fights for me in any RPG, like screw an ARPG, like just any RPG. Like it's a really well done fight. Give us more of that in the end game. Give us some agency over like how that fight looks. Let us make some cool items with it. And I think people will be pretty happy.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I hope we see something like this next Thursday on the Dawn of the Hunt reveal stream. Scrimspan, are you going to be streaming it? You going to be live streaming it?
Maybe. I haven't been normally, but you know what?
Oh,
I might.
Maybe you will.
A lot of other times with the events, like I just sort of use that as a day to knock out like chores around the house, and I listen with my headset on and I have someone else's stream up. But I'm pretty excited about this, and I liked playing PoE 2 a lot the first time, so maybe I will.
All right. Well, everybody can check out Scrimps either on his YouTube channel or his Twitch channel, where you stream basically every day, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Awesome. A lot of times I'm live at like 2 to 4 Eastern.
Nice.
And then sometimes I've been doing some late night streams recently because I've had some weird sleep schedule. but I'm live pretty frequently, and I just have fun kind of chatting. We've been doing a lot of crafting lately, so I've been getting a lot of chances to like help other people out with crafts too, like doing that.
Awesome.
But yeah, thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it. It's been a blast.
100%, dude. Thank you for popping on. We'll make sure to have all your links in the description below. If you haven't already, make sure to go check Scrimps out on YouTube and Twitch. And man, I'll have to talk to you after Dawn of the Hunt releases. Maybe we can get back together and see if our predictions were true and if we're still having fun playing Path of Exile 2.
Hey, looking forward to it, man. Take care of yourself.
All right. Peace. See ya. Peace.